All righty, let's welcome back for the lucky number third time to the Cannabis Podcast, Adam Hernandez, candidate for mayor in Lubbock, Texas. Welcome back. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back again.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. I love having you back. You're a frequent guest. I love it. So for everybody who doesn't know, you're running a campaign for mayor in Lubbock, Texas, along with spearheading a decriminalization campaign in Lubbock, Texas. Give us a little update. The election's May 4th. So we're getting close, a couple weeks away, and looking forward to hearing what's going on.
Yeah, so I know that I was heavily involved in Freedom Act, which is now called Prop A on our ballot. And so a lot of people get confused and think that that's actually a part of my mayoral candidate platform, and it's really not. So my platform as far as a mayoral candidate really deals with a lot of other local issues that we have here that seriously need to be addressed. And so I am on the ballot, and then Prop A is a separate thing on the ballot, but some people seem to think that we are one and the same. So basically, the short version is last year, starting in January, we began rolling out Freedom Act Lubbock, which was a petition initiative at that time. And we started collecting signatures in August of last year. I think we needed about 4,800. We ended up getting over 10,000 in the less than 60 days that we had. And then, so now it's on the ballot. It went through the city council. City council voted it down. Once they do that, we have the option to put it on the ballot, which we did. And so that was one of the dozens of things that I was involved in last year. And it's the only one that has continued to follow me up until present day.
Yeah, that seems to be the case, especially when you have people running against you that want it to be linked to you.
Yes.
And then spin it in their narrative. So I remember you mentioned some issues with stray dogs and closing pools down, and you know, a lot of kind of stuff that needs to be changed up in Lubbock. Mm-hmm. Has there been any updates or traction or feedback from the community on those issues?
Yeah, so it's been pretty interesting to watch the last campaign. So the first time I ran for mayor of Lubbock was in the last mayoral cycle in 2022. And one of the things that we noticed was that during the forums, so we have a lot of different forums. We've already participated in five up to this point. We're about to have another one tonight, and there's several others coming up. But over the course of those forums in the last campaign, I saw some of the candidates starting to borrow the language of things that I was talking about and sort of talking about issues that I had brought up that they previously weren't talking about. And this time that started much earlier in the campaign. And the reason why I believe that happens is because I think that these folks are just sort of out of touch. It's sort of a trend here with our local government because they come from one part of our community, right? Which is more the more affluent parts of our community. It's just a different culture. They're around a different set of people most of their lives and all of those sorts of things, right? And so they're really not in touch with what like 80% of the city has to deal with, because they simply just don't have to deal with a lot of those things, right? Like the loose dog issue in our mm-hmm. affluent communities, that's non-existent. They don't have any loose dog issues. Everybody has a nice sturdy fence. Everybody, you know, is taking care of their animals and nobody's letting them get out and all that sort of stuff. But then you look at our older communities and it's rampant. You have people dumping dogs. You have people that are sort of backyard breeders that are putting more animals into the system. You've got all these different things happening, and it really is a public safety issue for those folks, right? Mm-hmm. And so my policy ideas come from the community. They're not like something that I just thought up and said, you know what, I want to do this, so I'm going to just like force everybody else to do this. It's things that I got from the community. I come from a background of community service for the last several years. And so that's where it comes from talking to thousands of people across the city and hearing their concerns and what they deal with on a daily basis. And so because of that, those issues are very popular. And so the issue of the dogs, something that people, a lot of people really want to address, same thing with the public pools, et cetera. And so when what we've seen in this cycle is that there's been some polls done by my competition. We definitely don't have money as a campaign to do any polling, but they definitely do. And so there's been several polls that we've heard of or seen screenshots of where essentially all of the questions are my platform. Them asking people about how they feel about loose dogs, how they feel about pools, the whole thing. So it's been really interesting. But I am the only candidate that's actually been actively working on those things over the last several years. So that has definitely been an interesting part, as well as, of course, people wanting to link my name with Prop A, which is fair enough. I was the face of it as communications chair of that. And of course, I myself collected thousands of signatures, so that's fine. But they're trying to use it more so as a weapon, to try to weaponize it against me and say, oh, look how bad this guy is. He wants everybody to have marijuana. You know, do we really want him to leave the city? So that's sort of kind of the narratives. Yeah.
That's one issue in a whole host of issues dealing a city, which everybody knows is more than one, especially one that's not even legal yet. Right. It could bring tons of benefits as far as taxation and all that kind of stuff. And what you're speaking to, it sounds like, is a, when you're talking about the effluence, is more of a class differential, you know, and it's interesting that, like, you don't have to take a poll because you just talk to the community. That's your poll, yes. Right? Hey, oh no, over the last 2 to 4 years, I've been talking to hundreds of people in the community. So I know you don't have to poll. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're running, you're translating, obviously, you know, your core beliefs with feedback from the community and blending them, what it seems like, in favor of the community's opinion, which is what most people, all elected officials, should do. How, I know I asked you this last time, but at this point in the stage, how is it different now, this campaign, than it was your last run?
Yeah, so I guess the first thing would be that I've learned a lot more about how the city itself works, and learned a lot more about how policy works and all of those sorts of things. So that's a big thing. The other main thing is the amount of support that I have has grown, because as I said, I come from a community service background. So in the summer of 2020, I just made a life decision that I was going to dedicate as much of my time as possible to community service. And that's what I've done over the last several years in all sorts of ways across the city. And so that's what my background is. And that's how I look at, you know, being mayor is just sort of an extension of that, being able to do that at a higher level. So the support has been a lot stronger. We've gotten support from folks we didn't really have support from last time, who either may have not known about me, or maybe they weren't sure about me just yet. And so that has definitely changed. So I would say those are the two main takeaways, you know, just my own sort of knowledge and experience. And then the support that we have has been really, really great.
That's awesome. I mean, every time, you know, you always learn more, and, you know, you don't have to start here. You can start from a little bit further in the journey, and speeds things up, makes things easier. I noticed you mentioned community service, not public service, which to me, there's a difference between those two. Public service is just public facing, and community service is actually engaging in your community. So I'm very aware that you said that specifically, which is to me awesome to hear, which especially down here in Texas, where just the other day they what is it, the assistant attorney general said he wants to recriminalize, you know, hemp derived nine stuff, which is different than what we're talking about, but it's still, you know, part of the overall issue here in Texas. So you've had some mayoral debates. How do you think those were public ones, right? You know, how did those go?
So they all went really well. There was one in particular that we've recently had, which was it was a conservative Republican group that put that one together. And we sort of knew that one was going to be more antagonistic towards me. I was going to be like sort of a target in that one. But outside of that, for the most part, you know, they've been pretty fair and sort of, you know, balanced, I guess you could say, in terms of like the questions and how they were presented and things of that nature, except for that one. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten a really good feedback even from that one that was sort of more antagonistic towards me. I already knew what it was going to be like going into it. We had already heard a lot of the talking points that they were going to use. And so it wasn't necessarily hard to go through, but I think that a lot of people sort of, they've noticed that and called that out about that one in particular. Like you could just really tell, like from the very beginning, it was like, aim all the questions at Adam, you know, give him these gotchas or whatever the case may be. But we still came out fine and actually gained some supporters from that situation. So they did a straw poll in that one in particular. And of course, one of the other guys was the number one. But the thing that shocked me is that even in that room full of people that were against me, I was actually second place, strangely, in that straw poll. So I did. I mean, I would say there was probably maybe about 20 people that were there who were sort of already supporters of me. But we picked up 20 somewhere in the room. And so it's been really interesting, but overall, out of all of the forums, and as a matter of fact, a lot of the Republicans in the room that evening came up to me and said that that was my best showing. So I don't know what they saw there that they didn't see in others, but that's what I was told by a lot of them. But yeah, we've gotten a lot of good feedback. A lot of people just mentioning that you know, that they can sense that I have experience, that I sort of know these topics that I'm talking about. And they also like the fact that I actually have a vision for what to do, a vision for the city overall, but also a vision and plans to, you know, actively address these things. And that's one thing that we've been lacking is just any sort of intention, any sort of vision, any sort of like, you know, active leadership from our local leadership. And I think that's what people are sort of tired of.
Original ideas instead of just I'll do the opposite of that guy, or I won't do that. Okay, what will you do? Well, we'll wait and see, you know, depend. Yeah, more people, you know, and you'll see it locally translates to nationally. They're just begging and yearning for somebody with original ideas and a passion to actually see those through instead of just going, I have ideas, and then you win, you go, all right, now I'm just going to cruise for a minute and you know, see what my donors have to say and all that stuff.
Right. And the worst is what we've seen with our leadership is where they just simply they'll refuse to even think about an issue, and they just sort of throw their hands up and say, "Well, we can't do anything, right?" And that's another thing that people are tired about. They don't want the excuses. They don't want to hear that it's too hard. They just want the leadership to fix these things. And so yeah.
And ironically enough, funnily enough, they're not lying. They can't do anything about it because they agreed not to, you know, a lot of the times, not saying everybody, although it seems like it. But that's always interesting when they say, I can't do anything. Well, okay. So now you just told us what's going on there. So these local elections, you know, was there five people running for mayor?
Six, actually. Yeah, there's six of us. Yeah.
Are they like two Republicans, three Democrats, progressive? I don't know how the makeup of it is.
Yeah, so I'm the only one that's not a member of any political party.
Awesome.
So I've been an independent candidate the entire time. You know, I garner most of the progressive vote or the Democratic vote, even though I'm not, you know,
Right.
a member of the Democratic Party or anything. The other five candidates, well, excuse me, four of them are self-proclaimed Republicans or conservatives. And then those four are sort of different varieties of that, if you will. So one of them is more from the establishment, like business community here in Lubbock, and sort of has that support. Most of the sort of old guard business people that have pulled a lot of strings, you know, in every election cycle here, they're sort of backing him. And then we have the group called Project Destiny Texas, which is the main opposition group for Prop A, and they're also highly against me by extension of that. And so that group is in a sort of a strange position because there's actually two of those candidates that some like one of them and some like the other one. And these two guys are more, I guess if you would classify it that way, sort of further to the right. And one of them outright says that he's going to bring MAGA to the mayor seat. And so that's sort of the split there. And then you have
Done.
a, yeah, yeah. So you have another one who has, this is his fourth time running. The very first time he ran for mayor, he ran as a progressive. And then the other three times, the other two times, and then this time that he's ran as a sort of like a Trump supporter, sort of that sort of brand. And he's kind of all over the place, to be honest with you. He doesn't really know. I mean, to be fair, most of these guys outside of two of the other candidates don't really know how the city works. So it's not just him, but you can sort of tell that, that these guys don't really know anything about how the city works, how it operates or anything like that. But that's sort of the situation. The last guy is a young guy. I think he's in his 20s. And according to him, he ran because he wanted self-improvement. And so I guess on his self-improvement journey, he felt he needed to run for mayor. And so he hasn't really been showing up to a lot of the forums or a lot of anything. And so he's kind of been absent. I think he's been at one of the forums and that was about it.
So it seems like just kind of like a little hobby for him of kind of what it, not to minimize it, but yeah. You know, it seems like he's kind of just, yeah, we'll see what happens, you know?
And yeah, pretty much is what it sounded like in his interview. Yeah.
Fair enough. But you know, I don't know if that's going to translate to a lot of success, hopefully, for the community. What, you're going to say something?
Oh, no. Yeah, that, I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah, so I, you know, it's been fascinating to watch from, like, you know, a couple few hours away here in Texas, from afar, either Instagram or kind of all this stuff. And are you seeing many people kind of care more about the local stuff as opposed to the national stuff? You know, are they kind of mentioning more to you about local stuff or kind of like the Trump MAGA stuff of what's going on?
You know, that has been an interesting thing that we noticed that has been a notable change from the last time. So the last time it was very heavy on, we would get questions about stuff a mayor doesn't even control. Now, we got some of those at that forum that I was just talking about that was ran by a Republican group. We were still talking about in that forum, they were asking us what we would have done about COVID lockdowns. And like, it was really strange. But outside of that, last time we definitely got more of those questions in terms of how do we feel about national things, right? And this time we're not really seeing that as much. So it is very much local. So there's been a lot of activity about me just in general when it comes to Freedom Act, which is now Prop A, as well as Lubbock Compact. The organization I'm with has been involved in several things that were high profile this year. I've been all over the news and like all of those sorts of things. And so my profile has raised to such a degree that I think that has a large part. It's not just all me, obviously, but there's just been that, and then in conjunction with a lot of other different sort of situations that have happened here locally. And Lubbock Compact, we do a live stream every week where we sort of talk about these things. And so we've had a hand in sort of like, you know, bringing awareness to these sorts of things. And so it's all mixed up together, but it's really been a sort of a perfect storm of things happening where right now in this moment, it does appear that, at least for this moment, our city is more so hyper-focused on local things and trying to battle it out about who's going to take us forward. Is that going to be me or is that going to be one of these other people? So, yeah.
It's interesting to hear, you know, I'd love to dive deeper, you know, on my own into this of like, maybe why is it maybe because people are realizing that, hey, you can only really affect your local communities if you want to have some sort of say in, like you said, COVID lockdowns, even though that's not what the mayor does. Which is interesting because if people didn't know that, the only way they'd find that out is by asking that question. And what would you have done? Well, that's got nothing to do with my powers. Oh, okay. And maybe they process that and then go, okay, well, now I've really got a hyper focus on local. So it's interesting to know that. I'm glad to hear that they're more focused on local. Was the turnout the last election a large turnout, small turnout, and are you expect obviously a bigger one this time?
Yeah, so last time, unfortunately, it was like most May election turnouts here in Lubbock, which so we have about a little over 180,000 registered voters here in Lubbock, which is really good because there's 260,000 about people who live here. So we have a high registration rate. So like a lot of people are registered, but we have very, very low turnout. So in a typical May election here, you could pretty much set your watch by it. About 19,000 people are going to show up every single May. That's less than 10% of the entire city's population that has been choosing the leadership for the other 90%. As long as I've been alive, I'm 43 years old. As long as I've been alive, that's been happening. And so there was two times when that changed, and they were different. And so one of the most recent one was in 2021, when they had a vote on the what was called the Sanctuary City for the Unborn ordinance. And they used the same mechanism we use to do Freedom Act for an abortion, an effective abortion ban, is pretty much what it was. And that same language from that Sanctuary City for the Unborn ordinance that came from Lubbock a few months later became SB 8. It became state law. It became the Heart Bill Act, excuse me, the Heartbeat Act. And so, that's where that came from. So, yet another thing Lubbock has contributed that probably a lot of people aren't happy about. So,
To be fair, it's not just Lubbock. You know, it's your city's one of the many in Texas, or just across the country, that's kind of going through a transformation, so to speak.
We've had all those sorts of things going on. And then you look at Prop A, where we have our state leadership has come out against us. Some of them naming us, naming me, sharing photos of me and all of that sort of things, and having commentary to say. So just the list of people who state reps and elected officials that have come out against us, it would be Attorney General Ken Paxton, State Rep Dustin Burrows, Senator Charles Perry, Congressman Jody Arrington, who also brought Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio all the way to Lubbock, Texas, to talk against Freedom Act. And then Sheriff Kelly Rowe, who was the sheriff of Lubbock County. And so we've seen a lot of activity.
And next time they bring in somebody from Ohio to speak, you let me know. I'm going to come in and I'm going to toss them out. I'm going to say, "What? I'm from Ohio. What are you doing here? You know, why, Mr. Jordan, you got plenty of stuff going on in Ohio." So, and I'm sure it's no short time before Ted Cruz comes out and says you're a bad guy too.
Oh, for
You
sure.
know, it's just par for the course.
And
So,
we're waiting on the governor as well. We're missing the governor so far. So we're patiently awaiting his commentary.
just go ahead and chalk that up. You know, it's. I give you so much credit for running, for anybody running for public office, just knowing the gauntlet and the just lies that people put out, and just for power and winning. They have no intention of helping anybody or changing any laws. They just don't want you to do it because you actually want to change things. And, you know, with Prop A, the transformation of Prop A, it's interesting that we, the people, have to approve the ending of prohibition. But we didn't have to for alcohol. Ended that overnight, you know, in the middle of the night, just pop bottles, and now they all make money. So it's really give you a lot of credit for running the gauntlet and more than once, you know, doing it again and again. And I hope people take note and notice that, you know, as far as I can tell, you've got good intentions and you want to help and very involved in the community. So where can people go to support you, spread the word about you and Lubbock Compact, Prop A, all the above?
I'm on Facebook, Adam Hernandez for Mayor. I'm on Instagram. I'm on X. I'm on TikTok. You can also go to adamhformayor.com. That's the website. And then for Freedom Act, or Prop A as it's known now, you can go to freedomactlubbock.org. Freedom Act is also on Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok as well. And so you can follow us there for updates. And we have had some TikToks about some of the sermons that have been preached about myself and Lubbock Compact and Prop A. We just put up another one today from a church just Sunday, yesterday, was mentioning by me by name again on the pulpit. And so if you want to keep up with all of that interesting stuff that's going on, then definitely check out the TikTok. So you'll be entertained, I'm sure.
It fascinates me with the church approach, because in my deductive reasoning, God made plants, men criminalized plants, therefore we're a little inconsistent. So if he thinks it's good enough, or she, he or she thinks it's good enough for me, no one's going to tell me different. So
yeah. And you know, it's interesting that people think that this is sort of like a leftist issue. We've heard people talk about that, but the funny thing, the reality of it is, and I'm not going to put anybody on blast because they made themselves vulnerable and reached out to me, but I had somebody on the very far right, and they would classify themselves as very far right, and they don't like me at all. They don't want me to be mayor. They view me as probably the Antichrist or whatever, just because I'm not, I guess, far right or whatever the case may be. I've never done anything to this person. We've never really had too many interactions, but they reached out to me in my Facebook Messenger directly and asked me to provide them talking points that they could argue against their people in their own party who were trying to get them to vote against Prop A, and they wanted to vote for it because they have health issues that they're dealing with that they use cannabis for. They also are Christian, and we're sort of using some of the quotes that we were using from the Bible, right? Because you do find quotes in the Bible where God says that all the seeds and plants were good, right? But then they try to twist others to try to sort of fit their narrative. But so she was sort of talking about some of that and how she feels, at least, you know, in her faith, she feels like it's legit and kosher, right? But a lot of her fellow Republicans and fellow political people were trying to get, you know, trying to sway her away from it. And here she is in my, of all people, in yeah. my Messenger, you know, having this conversation. And so, and we've seen much more of that from all the way far right to all the way far left and everything in between. This is really a broadly popular issue.
I a little crack in the dam right there, a little crack in the dam and the armor. And I've realized, you know, on the progressive left and even like on the far right, you know, or not far right, but libertarian and that kind of side, cannabis is the issue on the back end where they meet. And because it is a freedom issue. And I've been fascinated to see how many people on both sides get ramped up and then they smoke and they're like, yeah, we're saying the same thing. And yeah. I firmly believe that, like, right now, if everybody in the world lit up something or ate an edible, there'd probably be at least 2 hours of peace in the world.
At least, yeah.
At least until that wore off, depending on what kind of strand you had. But Adam, thanks again for joining. I appreciate it. I know your time is valuable. So best of luck. May 4th, get out there and vote. Lubbock, Texas. Appreciate you, Adam. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks.